The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 4. As they were speaking, the people, the priests, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, and which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will direct you yet again to your small catechism insert as we begin anew our confession on the Ten Commandments. What is the first commandment?
You shall have no other gods.
What does this mean?
We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things.
What is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks.
What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear the word.
The epistle comes from 1 John chapter 3. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us came, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us in the Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and stood on the right hand. He shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for remission.
Please be seated. Our next hymn for today is number 431.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
By this we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John writes a lot about love. What do you know about love? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my family and friends. I love the church. And of course, I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. Love is something that we are very, very familiar with in this world. In fact, you don't even have to be a believer to love. Everybody has capacity to love. Unbeliever, believer, it's all the same. However, there is a difference. When the believer loves, it is different than when an unbeliever loves. The object is different, and the source is different. And we don't have to search long in the scriptures to find out this difference. So first, let's look at this unfaithful, sort of unbeliever version of love. You remember Joseph, not Mary and Joseph, but Joseph from the Old Testament in Genesis. Right? He was loved by his father. And his father showed him that love in many different ways, one of which is getting that coat that all of his brothers coveted. Right? And then all of a sudden he has this dream where everyone is bowing down to him, this vision from God, predicting the future, and yet his brothers despise him because he has seen this vision. So what do? Well, they capture him and they throw him into a hole, and eventually they sell him into slavery. And we know it was all part of God's plan, and he uses, you know, evil for good. But we see who his brothers loved. They failed to love their brother Joseph because their object of their love was themselves. Keep going, right? The birth of Jesus. We all remember that story. And what happens? But the wise men, or the magi, if you will, they travel to Herod in Jerusalem, in the capital city, and they say, "Where is the new king?" All of a sudden, Herod has to start thinking, new king? I'm the only king. Herod loves his power, and even if it is just an infant, Herod cannot handle someone trying to sneak in and take something away from him. And so Herod, he fails to love Jesus, and he fails to love all of his subjects underneath him, because he gives the order that all boys 2 years old and younger should be put to death. Because Herod loves his power. And really, what does Herod love? He loves himself. Even in our gospel reading for today, Jesus shares this little parable, so to speak, that there's a shepherd who has sheep. And there's a difference between the shepherd and the hired hand. Because the good shepherd will go so far, he loves the sheep so much, that he will lay down his life into death, if it comes to that. But the hired hand, he doesn't love the sheep. He sees danger coming, and who does he show that he loves the most? Himself. We just confessed the Ten Commandments right after our Old Testament reading. And Jesus' little short summary for those three commandments is to love God. And consequently, commandments 4 through 10 are to love your neighbor. There is no 11th commandment that says you should love yourself. In fact, self-love is never lauded in the scriptures ever. In fact, every time someone loves themselves above all in scripture, we see destruction and hardship and sin. No, love God and love your neighbor. It teaches us that our love is not supposed to be focused inward. It's supposed to be focused outward, towards those around us and back towards God who has shown his love for us. But as the poor, miserable sinners that we are, this is hard for us to do. It comes naturally because of our sin for us to love ourselves, to do what's best for number one, me, myself, and I. And so Jesus, what he does is he not only calls it a sin, but he shows us a better way. He shows us what faithful love looks like, what selfless love looks like. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He gives a love and he doesn't expect anything in return. But he simply gives selflessly. This is what love is. Love is Good Friday. Love is beholding Jesus dying for your sins. Because honestly, he wasn't going to get anything back from that arrangement. We had nothing to give. Our cup is empty. And yet Jesus comes to fill us with life. And to fill us with forgiveness. And to fill us with every good thing. Romans 5 puts it this way. It says, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus shows us here that love is connected not just to words, but to action. Look at what he does, right? He's not enticed to give his life for some sort of reward. He's not like, all right, God, I'll die for these people now, and then later you give me something good, right? No, he just does it selflessly. He does it willingly. He considers his life as nothing because he considers your life as everything. In him was no selfishness or ambition or conceit, but in humility, he considers that your life is worth more than his own. He didn't look to his own interests and self-love, but he takes on the form of a man that he might give that form of a man into death. That he could bleed and die on the cross for you. And of course, we know that he's raised back to life. Because a dead shepherd doesn't do us any good. If the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep and the wolf overcomes the shepherd, well, guess what? The sheep still get scattered. They still get devoured. They still get eaten. And so Jesus comes back to life on the third day to take care of you. To be your good shepherd. And most importantly, to show you what love still looks like. It is both the crucified and the risen Jesus. Because what does this Jesus give us? He gives us his word. And he gives us these special gifts that we call sacraments. And as he pours these things into our lives, we see how much God loves us. Because he chooses to come and be with us, to literally be on this altar and in your mouth. That's how much God loves you. It was love that inspired Jesus to create the Lord's Supper, that way you might have strength for your faith and the forgiveness of your sins. In love, Jesus told his disciples to baptize all nations, right? To lead them into his flock by water. It's in love that Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to his church throughout all of the ages. That way faith might be created in you. And you might believe the gospel. That Jesus is the Christ, the very Son of God. And that you might have life in his name. That you might believe that Jesus himself is love. And so he is. We know the love of God in Jesus. We know what he's done for us in his death and resurrection. But Jesus' love doesn't stop there either. You know, if you have a glass of water and you have an entire jug of milk or something, and you try to dump that entire jug into that tiny glass, it can't hold it all. Eventually, that glass will not be empty anymore, but it'll be so full that it starts pouring over the rim and all over the floor. And this is exactly what Jesus does with us, with his Christians. We come here certainly to receive God's gifts, to receive His love, and it fills us up so much that when we leave this place, when we go out of the church, we can't help but love those around us with the same kind of love that Jesus gave to us first. And it's not a love that expects something in return. It's not a love that looks for my own pleasure or my own benefit or my own interests. It's a love that simply serves. It's a love that is selfless. And so in thought, word, and deed, the object of our love is no longer ourselves, but it's all those around us. Now, of course, this doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Sorry. Wish I could make that so. But that's exactly why Jesus will never stop loving you. Yes, He fills us up to overflowing, and we should show love to those around us, but as many times as we fail, we know we can come back here to receive Jesus' love anew, to be filled with all of the good things that He has in store for us. That way we might know that our sins are forgiven. And so they are. My friends, Jesus has showed you selfless love. He's been crucified and risen for all of your sins, and He continues to pour that love into you. Therefore, let us not just love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.